Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. Y'all ready for this? This is the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast presented by Weichert Realtors, the Griffin Company.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
He is a loathsome, offensive brute. Yet I can't look away.
This is the business we've chosen.
This is like catching a big brown trout on the White River. I've always wanted this. Give me the hogs, Chuck.
Reeves puts up a three. No good. And Oakland with a March memory of a lifetime. This tournament produces unbelievable moments. And as Greg Campy told his team, we have a chance to change our lives. They did just that.
Hey, thanks a lot, Kentucky, for ruining my bracket. I got to tell you, between Kentucky and BYU and South Carolina, there was just carnage yesterday. In fact, at one point last night, I just wadded it up and threw it in the trash. But I'm done. For the NCAA tournament. This happens every year. I fill it out in ink, and then, I don't know, a day or two into it, I trash it. A few years back, it seemed to be easier for me. I don't know. But the last couple of years, I've been on a bad run as far as my bracket goes. But March Madness is underway, and that's where we begin on the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast presented by Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company, brought to you in part by the Bet Saracen app. I know they were busy late into the night. They're probably busy as we speak. Matt Jones, the Razorback legend, joins us as he always does as we wrap up the week on Friday. Matt, welcome. What does your bracket look like today?
Chuck, man, always good to be here with you. Yeah, I have some of those issues as well. I had Kentucky losing to Marquette in the Sweet 16. Marquette has a little left-handed guard that was out for the Big East tournament, and I kind of had them matching up. It's happened before. I think Virginia did me like that one year. I had them going to the Final Four, and they got beat in the first or second round. Duke's done it to me before. So it happens, but it gives us a chance, Chuck. We get to make the last three-pointer because when we wad it up and throw it in the trash, you get to stand as far back as you want to.
Now you're right. I had BYU in the Sweet 16. That hurt me there. South Carolina, there's value in getting hot at the right time. I think about Oregon. They run through the Pac-12 tournament. They're an 11th seed. That was never a game.
Mm-hmm.
The SEC goes 1-3, and I know people are talking about that today in the aftermath of round one. I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, can you measure a conference by what happens in the NCAA tournament? Should you?
Well, Oregon was better athletically. That was the thing.
I thought so.
Yeah, South Carolina's a real basketball team, Chuck. Like they play well together. They play hard. They know who they are. But when it gets down to it, there's not really a lot of talent on that team. Same with Mississippi State. And Oregon had a couple dudes, man. They had that fifth-year senior, and then they had a big that he would probably be the best big in the SEC. I mean, their big was – we couldn't do nothing with them, or South Carolina couldn't do anything with them. I actually picked that one right. I had Oregon over South Carolina, so I got lucky there. But I got Creighton beating Oregon. I had Samford over Kansas, and that was a little tricky at the end. Sometimes, Chuck, the one thing I know as a player – is you just don't want the officials – you don't want to even be talking about the officials after the game. The officials need to be consistent and be seen, not heard.
Well, you don't know that Samford would have come down and hit a shot to either tie or a three would have given him the win, but that was a terrible call, man. That was as bad as it gets in a critical moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, as you say, you hate to see it happen like that at the end. All right, can Vermont – pull off the impossible and knock off Duke today? Where are the upsets today? Because you know there's going to be one or two.
You know, I know some people have A&M. I guess that's not much of an upset right there. Vermont, you know, Duke has that senior guard Roach. They got Filipowski. They have a couple okay pieces. I haven't seen Vermont play enough, but I think you get to this point, Chuck, and it's win or go home. And you saw last night that dude from Oakland, 10 of 20, talk about a fluorescent green light. And he was just shooting it from wherever. And that was just so cool to watch. And I thought his comment afterwards, you know, he said, we're not a Cinderella. You know, he's all hyped up. But he said some truth. And he's not an NBA guy. He reminded me a little of Jimmer Fredette, if you kind of remember.
I remember Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah, just a little undersized, can shoot it from anywhere. He's going to make a living going over to you know, Lithuania or China or Australia, wherever, and go play professional ball. But it's a chance for people to, you know, they kind of have a chip on their shoulder. He was a D2 kid last year, got in there and made some plays. It was pretty cool to watch.
Tennessee was really impressive in their win over St. Peter's. Are they still, in your mind, a team that perhaps could make a deep run through all this?
I just talked about that Oregon-South Carolina matchup, and you look at the athletes on Oregon. I think Tennessee does have the athletes. You know, you watch a Marquette play, you watch UConn play, you watch North Carolina play. I don't think there's a lot of teams in the SEC that compete with those week in, week out. Now, they might beat them in a one-off game, but I think Tennessee does. They do have that talent. They have the old veteran, wily defensive guard that can hit shots. They got the incoming wing player that's 6'8", do it all and connect, and they have a big. And I do like Ricky Barnes. I think he's a heck of a coach. And you got to think he's kind of due. I have Tennessee in the Final Four. I think the Midwest region is the weakest of all the regions. If Purdue or Tennessee does not come out of that region, I'll be really surprised. And I think when it gets down to it, I don't trust Purdue's guards. Just like I don't trust Alabama guards. Now, if you want to talk about an upset today, Chuck, I think Alabama would be one of my teams that would be on upset alert.
College of Charleston is their opponent. 13 seed, 27-7 on the year. Yale give Auburn any problems today? What do you think?
I think Auburn's the second best team for the SEC. I think Auburn's going to make a run and play UConn. I think they got the bad end. They got the worst seed out of all the SEC teams right there. They're going to have to play UConn in the Sweet 16. That might be it for them. But I'm an Auburn fan. If Auburn beats UConn, man, watch out. That could be what. Now I don't know. You know, we talked about this yesterday, Chuck. You know, December 20th is the last time UConn's been beat. But I do. I think Auburn's the second best team in the SEC.
Is it going to take a combination of athleticism and physicality combined? And it sounds simple, but it's not. Does it take a combination like that to oust a team like UConn? And it sounds like maybe you think Auburn's got that combination.
I think they could get hot at the right moment. They got the big that can match up with them. They got some guards that can hit shots. They have some depth. The thing with UConn, man, they just keep coming. They're like a machine. They just keep going in wave after wave, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. Newton is their senior guard, and he's been playing really well. I believe he's had over 5 assists in like 8 of his last 10 games. I mean, he's just been dominating. And they cruised in the Big East for the championship. And now I like Marquette. Marquette didn't have their starting point guard, but just when it comes top to bottom, if you're just going to say, you know, who has the best attributes, who has the best talent, who has the best team, when you put it all together, I think UConn is that way. I also like North Carolina, and like you said, Tennessee, I think, is the best out of the SEC.
Is it time for Cal to go?
You know, Chuck, Phil and I talked about that about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or so, and just kind of talking about the mess they are there and the lack of defense. And when you think of Coach Cal, don't you think defense? I mean, you think getting after it a little bit and having a point guard that can do some things, having a big, whether it's Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins, you know, Derrick Rose at Memphis, John Wall. I mean, he has talent. I think there's some talent there, but you got to get back to playing defense, man. I did not trust Kentucky's defense at all. And I mean, it was it just all year, really. And you think, well, hey, they have athletes, they have talent, it'll click, they'll figure it out. And it just never did.
All right, let's bring it home. What do you make of what's happening with the basketball Razorbacks right now? Blocker, the latest to announce he's entering the portal. What's your take on all this?
You know, Chuck, I I'm an in-state kid. I'm an Arkansan through and through. I think you want to go around and asking Arkansans for money and then don't have any Arkansans on your squad. I think that's kind of tough. I think there's a lot of talent in Arkansas, in the in-state that you can get. For whatever reason, it's not working. It's not clicking. And it was a bad year. So you got to move forward. I think Coach Muss is the type of competitor that he's going to if you are a competitor, it hurts when you lose. I mean, you can't. I'm telling you, Chuck, after a game, we would get beat. I couldn't sleep. You know, you can't sleep the next night. You're just thinking, what can I have done better? And I'm sure they're that way. You don't have that much success if you're not ultra competitive. And so I think he'll get back into it. I think his recipe has brought a lot of success. Even when Coach Muss was at Nevada and it was just a down year for whatever reason, if it's NIL, because I don't think it's evaluation of talent. I think Coach Muss can evaluate talent. Maybe we just didn't have the resources to go out and get the expensive players. You know, maybe we were shopping at the bargain bin.
I want to ask you about the departure of Devo in the time that we have left here. You understand better than just about anyone what it's like to live in the glare. I mean, the white hot spotlight. And you're at an age where, frankly, you're ill-equipped to handle it all, as anyone would be. What did you think when he announced that he was leaving? In-state kid, as you say. What was your reaction to that?
You know, Chuck, I'm not privy to all the information. That's for sure. I'm a Devo fan. I don't know the last couple of years what's been going on or why you have to take a step away. And you wish him well, emotionally, physically, spiritually, every way he can be. It's tough when you kind of feel like the world's on your shoulders. When you're playing high level college basketball, in-state guy, everybody notices every move. I didn't like it. I still don't like it. I'm not an extrovert, so to speak. And so it's tough. Some people have to find resources and find ways, and it's almost like a buddy system, or you have to get like a mental health coach of some kind. And you got to have somebody to talk to and vent to and understand that, honestly, man, basketball's a young man's game, and how blessed that you are to have the athletic ability and to play and to be able to do this and know that it's not the end of the world if you win or lose. That you know that there is a higher purpose, and I think sometimes we get caught up in, oh, we're a Razorback and we got to do this certain way. And, you know, I'm going to be a Devo fan as long as he's playing basketball. I think wherever he goes, that he's going to be. I think he's a high level, high IQ guy. I think he's an elite defender. I think he's one of the few that could have played for Coach Richardson. I really do. I think if he wants to and he gets the right people around him, Devo can play basketball for the next 10 years and make a living and set his family and himself up to live the way he wants to. It just won't be in America, but he can go over and play. And make six figures a year. So you hope the right people are around him that you're able to talk to and kind of decipher through the information and make the best decision possible for the kid.
Matt, I always enjoy your perspective, and we'll be listening to you on Halftime with Phil. Thank you.
Chuck, don't throw your bracket away just yet.
I won't. I got to go get it out of the trash.
All right, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Matt. Matt Jones, everybody. There were a lot of brackets wrecked when Oakland beat Kentucky last night. Some brackets took hits during the day, as they often do. But if you were kind of teetering on the brink of being in it or in danger of falling out of the race on the first day, Kentucky might have put you over the edge. A lot of people had Samford to beat Kansas, too, and that almost happened at the end. But ultimately, Just not quite. Thanks to Matt Jones for being with us today, as he always is on Friday.
The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device, and even track your bracket real time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
We're presented each and every day by Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company, and you hear me talking often about my experience with them, and that's because it was a great experience. I wouldn't talk about it so much if it wasn't great, to be perfectly honest with you, because they guided me through the process, first as a buyer, then as a seller, then as a buyer and a seller again. And every occasion that I've had the privilege, really, of partnering with them, they've been able to handle anything that came up, and they seemingly do it with ease. They make it look easy, which I guess is what pros do. You know, the market can be volatile. I mean, let's face it. We watch the news, read the paper. Everyone keeps up with what's going on there. And you need someone that can really make sense of it all, make sense of what it means to you, make sense of what it means to our area. Someone that listens to you, someone that understands what you are looking for, what you want out of the deal, and then works to make it happen. That was my experience, and I think that'll be your experience too. And they've got offices in Northwest Arkansas. They're in Washington and Benton County. They're in the River Valley in Fort Smith. You hear us talking about their office in Branson. They've got a vast selection of homes, and you can view those by logging on to WeikerGriffin.com. A little bit more about basketball before we move on to the Razorback baseball team. I was reading where Kentucky, on an annual basis, spends $23.2 million on their basketball program. $23.2 million on their basketball program. Oakland spends 2.1. And that's a lot of money. Oh, I'm not dismissing $2.1 million, but it's not anything like 23.2. In fact, to take it a little bit further, Oakland's entire athletic budget is $17.6 million. That's for everything. I think they play football maybe at one of the lower divisions, and obviously they've got men's and women's sports, but their entire athletic budget is $17.6 million. Kentucky spends 23.2 just on basketball. You spend a lot of money on SEC football, whether it's your major sport on your campus or not. They spend a lot of money on football. And this is ultimately why I think John Calipari will be back as Kentucky's coach next season. That $17.6 million that makes up Oakland University's entire athletic budget, that's half of Cal's buyout. I mean, you think about that. Their entire athletic budget. This is the difference, or one of the differences, between the haves and the have-nots in college sports. Oakland University's entire athletic budget is half of what the basketball coach at Kentucky's buyout is. What you'd pay him not to coach there anymore. It's a crazy world. But it shows you that's why you play the game. You know, when the game begins, the game itself weeds all this other stuff out. How much you're making, what kind of suit you're wearing on the sidelines as a head coach, what kind of car you're driving, what kind of NIL deal you've got. Once the game begins, none of that stuff matters anymore, particularly when you get to this point in the season. And Kentucky, again, found out the hard way that all of those things are nice, but they guarantee nothing. And they went home disappointed again last night. And, you know, for those who believe that the mid-major should be locked out, for those who believe that, you know, perhaps the Power Five or Power Six, whatever you call it in college basketball, that they should be the ones that call the shots, I mean, those who were making that argument had a bad night last night when Oakland knocked off Kentucky. Cal said after the game, I may change up what I do. You know, Cal's had great players. Matt ripped off several names just a few minutes ago as we discussed all this. They were just better players. I don't think that Cal necessarily needs to abandon the idea of going and getting freshmen for his basketball team. I just think he's got to get better freshmen. He had better players then, pure and simple. That's why they were winning national championships. He's getting great players now, but they're not at that level. They're better than most, better than the vast majority, but they're not at that level. And that's the reason why they're headed home today. So everybody's paying attention to basketball today. And that means if you've not downloaded the Bet Saracen app, you're missing out. I know it's active. I know there's a lot going on the Bet Saracen app right now. But yesterday was a busy day. Today's going to be a busy day. It's going to be a busy weekend. The NCAA basketball tournament's fueling a lot of the wagers right now. And they're ready for you at the Bet Saracen app. If you've not downloaded it, you're missing out. It is Arkansas's favorite sports betting app. And when you download it, you'll find out very quickly why. Because it's Vegas, Arkansas style. The baseball team plays again tonight, scheduled to anyway. Opportunities to wager on the Hogs, wager on other in-state teams, kids you know that are playing out of state, their teams. If you're going to be the best prepared, you need to be on the Bet Saracen app. I know there are a lot of national sports betting apps, but I also know there are laws in our state that keep a good number of them from operating in our state. So if you're going to be the most prepared, if you're going to be ready, you need to download the Bet Saracen app. They've got a how-to-play video. They'll get you ready to go with the Bet Saracen app.
Smith has the signal. Wheels and fires. Check swing upstairs. He did go. Strike three. That's 10 now on the night for Hagan Smith. Give him 60 for the season.
Hogs beat Auburn 1-0 in the series opener last night at Auburn. That was the voice of Kyle Schassberger, by the way. Phil was away with the Razorback women's basketball team, who saw their season end in the WBIT at Tulsa, by the way. Never a game. They were blown out. But Kyle was doing baseball games, so that was his call. And what a game it was. Arkansas got another stellar performance out of Hagan Smith, and Will McIntyre did a great job. This freshman, Gabe Gackle, I think that's it, Gackle, comes in and gets the save. And it was really a dramatic finish and a great win for the Razorbacks last night. Now, the question now is, will they play tonight? It's supposed to rain in Auburn, and there's a chance they might have to play a doubleheader tomorrow. This was Dave talking about that.
I know there's like an 80% chance of rain most of the day. You know, they were told, Auburn coaches were told by, whoever they deal with the weather here, that it might be a situation later in the evening, say 6-7, where we might have a window there, but we'll look at it. We're not going to start and, you know, for stuff rolling around. And obviously if it just keeps raining, plus we'll have to look at the condition of the field. So, it looks like it could rain into Saturday, maybe midday. That's our last day to play. So if that's the case, we'd have to play 2-7s.
Now, admittedly, this is not exactly real time. But I will tell you, as we record this podcast midday Friday, it's already rained some in Auburn. There's going to be, and I'm no meteorologist, but I can read radar now, there's going to be a period this afternoon where it's not raining. The question's going to be, does it come late in the afternoon, early in the evening? It shows it diminishing later on into the night, but it does show a possibility of more rain late in the afternoon. So we're just going to have to see. One thing to think about, though, since it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can't play on Sunday. Sunday rules apply on Saturday, meaning if they get rained out today, they got to play 2 7-inning games, as Dave was saying. You got to play 2 7-inning games tomorrow. You can't stay over until Sunday. That's a competitive advantage if you do, because no rainouts are made up. I mean, if you get to the end of the weekend and you've only played two games, that's too bad. You're not going to fly back and make up that game, regardless of how it affects the standing. So we'll see how it goes as we move through the day today. But that's the latest update we can provide you, I guess, in terms of the weather. All right, that's a lot to digest on a Friday when all you really want to do is sit back and watch college basketball all day. I'm going to be doing that probably throughout the weekend. I know that many of you will be too. Hogs scheduled to play baseball tonight. We'll hope it works out. If not, they'll play twice tomorrow. We'll talk Monday. Until then, thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast. Go to hitthatline.com or search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to rate, review, and share.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.